Be opening your Bibles to, I know this will be a shock to you, Romans 8. Hallelujah. I tell you what, this series that the Lord's had me teach for the last two times, and we're going to do the third part tonight, I'm telling you, this thing is setting me so free. The Lord has done a lot since we started attending the prayer center to get me free of a lot of religion. Thank God Sue didn't have a lot of religion in her. She was just your basic heathen. Well, and good at it. Did you hear what she said? She says, I was good at it. And but I was raised under a church pew. And I know those people meant well, but just the same, boy, I come out of there with a lot of religion. I really did. And, you know, he has set me free from so much of it since we've been coming to the prayer center that you get to thinking, well, bless God, you know. By the time you get to thinking that, he shows you whole new limbs that have to be sawed off. Unproductive religious stuff. And this series, this vision, every time I go pray right now, that vision reactivates in my spirit. I see it again. And I see more detail and I see things. And every bit of it is scripture. And it's scriptural. I can find scripture for everything I see in there. And I keep writing it down and refining it and adding more. And the first night, we talked about the title of that tape was The Serving Son. Now, the first tape was The Serving Son. The next one was The Serving Son's Enemy. Now, I am not going to do much review tonight. But if you didn't hear those two messages, listen. Get those two and don't give them away. Don't give them away. I'm telling you, there's going to be so much coming from the foundation of those two series, you're going to want to listen to them again. And it's not the messenger, it's the message. But I'm telling you, we are coming to the place where the Holy Ghost is going to be free to do what he wants in this place. And the way he's showing it to me, he's getting it down so simple where even I can understand it. And he has to get it that way for me. But so then I can come out and relay it. Now tonight, okay, the first one was The Serving Son, which I'm going to review just a little bit. The second one was The Serving Son's Enemy. Tonight's is going to be The Serving Son's Helper. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, again, no condemnation. I just need to know to get an idea on how much to review here. How many were not here for those previous two messages? Could I see your hands? Okay. All right. I really encourage you to get those two tapes. They'll have them for sale. They're $3 right after the service. I'm going to quickly review. Now, the way the Lord got me started in this was having me meditate Luke chapter 15, verse 1, all the way through Luke 17, 10. Dave teaches that the best way to meditate is to find out from the... ask the Holy Spirit to show you the beginning of the subject and the ending of the subject. By doing that and reading that whole passage, and that's a long passage, Luke 15, 1 through Luke 17, 10, but I'm telling you, that's all one subject matter. Really what he's doing there, he is expounding on Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Well, he told you in the verses just before that, the same stuff that the Gentiles spend their whole life trying to get. What are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? How are we going to be clothed? I know none of you husbands, especially you fathers, ever think like that. Where are we going to live? What kind of car are we going to drive? How are we going to educate our kids? How am I going to get clothes? How are we going to get food? What kind of job? Y'all never think like that, do you? Well, Jesus is saying, that's the right answer, but Jesus is saying to us in that passage, he says, look, the Gentiles, they have no provider. They're unbelievers. God is not their source. So, of course, they're going to be like that. They've got to provide for themselves their whole life. They have no provider. Don't you be like that. Be like Peter when Jesus came and says, I want your life. Your life belongs to me. Now, Peter, if you give me your life, that's what he's saying here. First, seek the kingdom. You give me your life, seeking the kingdom first. I'll take personal responsibility, for the Father will. For all of the, you will get the same stuff the Gentiles spend their whole life trying to get. But my Father will provide it. Matthew 6:33. Seek, what does it say? I mean, plain English. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. Same things that the Gentiles are spending their life trying to get will be added unto you. Amen? Alright. Now, when Jesus, the Son of the living God, when he says something like that, and he says, now I'll put it a little different just so I can understand it. Let me get this straight, Jesus. Are you telling me that if I just give myself to you completely, like Peter did, God the Father is going to take personal responsibility for all of my stuff? Is that what you're telling me, Jesus? Well, how does that verse read to you? Yes, that's what he's telling you. Well, it's hard to believe. But we go, well, okay, how do I do that? Well, he is expounding on that very thing in Luke 15:1. All the way through Luke 17:10. Because it opens up, we see Jesus, the Son of God, who has left his Father's house in heaven. He has come to the earth, and he's busy seeking and saving the lost. So to do that, he's out amongst publicans and sinners. When the Pharisees see that, the religious people of the day, they see him, they're outraged, and they go, this man claims to be a holy man of God, and look at him. He associates with publicans and sinners. You know, you can just hear the disgust in their voice, you know. Well, see, they don't have any idea of what serving the Father in his kingdom is all about. So, from that point on, all the way through Luke 17:10, every one of those parables, the lost coin, the lost sheep, the prodigal son, the unjust steward, the rich man and Lazarus, every one of those, he is giving examples saying, look, Pharisees and scribes, you've got it all wrong. I'm seeking first the kingdom right. You're seeking it wrong. I'm teaching, giving you an opportunity to repent. You need to change. You're doing it wrong. I'm doing it right. So every one of those, all of that whole passage, is Jesus really expounding on how you go about seeking first the kingdom of God correctly. He was doing it right. Well, I was going through the prodigal son one day. Now, everyone knows the story of the prodigal son. Amen? Man had two sons. He had one son that came and got his inheritance. He left, squandered his father's money on harlots. That's a red light district, as I understand it. You know, riotous living. Eventually spent all of his money and wound up feeding swine in a different country. Now, for a Jew, you know, to wind up feeding hogs, that's pretty low. You with me? Of all the things you can think of for a Jewish mind, that would be low because, you know, the swine was a, pork was a forbidden. Well, the elder son, who was always busy in his father's fields, now he didn't transgress the commandments in that way, but he didn't know his father at all. In that same story, the elder son, he was busy all the time. He says, I've never transgressed your commandments. I've been laboring in your fields. But now he didn't know his father's heart because he thought that the father was mad and angry at the prodigal. I mean, after all, the prodigal had left. He'd squandered his money. Now he was taking the family name and rubbing it in the dirt by having this lowly job of feeding hogs for Gentiles. I mean, he thought the father would be outraged and disown the prodigal. Well, now, when I was meditating that one day, the Holy Spirit asked me a question. He says, what would have been the cure for the elder son? How could he have changed his opinion? And I got to thinking about that. I said, well, the problem with him is he doesn't know his father at all. He doesn't know his father's heart. He doesn't know how his father feels. If he'd have come in and spent time with his father, just, you know, like I used that example, just bring in a box of donuts and make a pot of coffee, pull up some chairs around the breakfast table and say, Dad, let's sit down and talk. I'm going to kind of give up on this busy work for a little bit out in your fields because you and I haven't just spent time together in a long time. I'm going to tell you what's on my heart. You tell me what's on your heart and let's spend some time. Well, it wouldn't have been very long till he would have, you know, the subject of the prodigal would have come up, wouldn't it? And he would have been shocked to find out that the father was not only was the father not angry in the sense of disowning the prodigal, he was grieved. He loved the son. Even though he didn't approve of what the prodigal had done, he still loved him, and he was wanting him to come home. He went out on the porch every morning looking down the road to see if maybe the prodigal was coming. The father loved the prodigal, and his heart was grieving over his loss. Well, that fellowship would have continued for a while, and the elder son would have said, "Well, Dad, I didn't know you felt like that. I thought you was mad at him like I was. I didn't know that you wanted him home. Would you like for me to go look for him? Maybe I could find him." And the father, what do you think the father would have said? "Well, would you be willing to do that? I'd love for you to do that." And said, "Well, starting tomorrow, I'll get a caravan together. We'll get some camels and pack mules, and I'll take a few of these servants with me, and we'll go see if we can find him." Now, see, right there, the elder son has become the serving son, hadn't he? Now, see, if he had made that decision, that's how Luke 15 opens up. Jesus was doing that very thing. He had left the Father's house in heaven. He had come to earth seeking and saving the prodigals. Because all the sons of Adam are prodigals. We're all lost. That's why he had to associate amongst publicans and sinners. You know, we is it. Before you get born again, that's what you is. If you're a son of Adam, you're born with that nature in you. You know, and I don't know anybody that's not a son or daughter of Adam. Your first birth, that's the way you come out. You know? So anyway, the passage opens with, we see Jesus doing that. Then the Holy Spirit was showing me, if the elder son would have just quit all that religious busy work, busy in the Father's fields, I've got to wash my hands right, I've got to look right, act right, talk right, I sure don't care nothing about no sinners. You know, you see what I'm saying? I am holy and they are not. And I ain't having nothing to do with them either. That is not seeking the kingdom. That is self-righteousness. Okay? Alright? Now, the only cure for him was fellowship with the Father. Now, that's why one of the reasons why Pastor Dave encourages us so much. See, because the example that I'm giving here is like the work of an evangelist. We see the elder son becoming the serving son, and now he's going to get next day they get camels together, and they load pack mules with supplies, and he takes some servants, and they're going looking. Isn't that what you would do? But see, the whole body of Christ, this story doesn't apply just to evangelists. If you're a member of the body, the whole body of Christ, whether you understand it or not, has one purpose. Seeking and saving the lost. That's what we do. And lost in any realm. I mean, if they need to get born again, I mean, they're lost in that sense. We seek them and save, get them saved, get them born again. But there's a lot of people that's lost their health. I mean, they're born again, but the devil's defeated them in that area. And some of them die. Well, part of seeking and saving the lost would be a healing ministry. Amen? Part of my ministry is to seek and save the poor. It is. You know, it is to seek and save the poor. We've been so duped by religion, you know. It's just incredible. But, so, restoration. First of all, getting people born again, and then getting them delivered, or let's put it this way, destroying the work of the devil in their life, whether it be sickness, whether it be poverty, whether it be marriage problems, no matter what it is, getting them delivered, amen? But what I'm saying, if you're born again, you're in that body somewhere, aren't you? Now, Dave is the guy out on the front line. He, like right now, tonight, he's in Colorado, seeking and saving the lost. You with me? Mary Corbett is one of the secretaries here at the church. Now, she does real non-glamorous things. Lots of typing. Lots of filing. Lots of phone answering. Lots of being nice to ugly people on the phone. Putting up with me, for one thing, okay? All kinds of stuff that's not glamorous. And you would say, "Well, she's not an evangelist." Oh, really? You ask Pastor Dave if he can do what he's doing out there without these people here doing what they're doing here. From this very pulpit, I heard Dave tell Tim Stemple one night, he says, "Tim, you can fulfill your call without me, but I can't fulfill my call without you." I thank God for a pastor that has that much wisdom, that understands that. Amen? The point being, this parable applies to you. I don't care what your call is in the body, whether you're a frontline evangelist, whether you're the secretary, whether your job right now as a wife, maybe you're not in the ministry in that sense, but you're a wife and mother, you're raising children. Your number one assignment in the body of Christ is to raise godly seed. That's your number one assignment. What? You're going to abandon your children to the devil? Let some unbelieving babysitter raise them while you're out doing something? Now, God may have you do stuff while you're raising godly seed, but it will never be at the expense of raising godly seed. I'll tell you that. So y'all got it? The point is, all of us, this thing applies to all of us. You say, well, I don't know what my function is. Your number one first priority then is to come in and fellowship with your Father. Find out what it is He'd have you be doing. How would I do that? Well, one real good way would be 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto who?
God.
Speaks unto who?
God.
And what is he speaking? Mysteries. And the mystery that's yours, number one right now, your number one mystery is, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. That's a mystery to me. Come in, speak in unknown tongues. You're talking to your Father, spirit to spirit. Believe it or not, He is giving you that information to your spirit first. One day your mind will go, I'm called. He wants me to send tapes for free all over the world. And then your mind will go, that can't be God. He wants me to send thousands of tapes for free all over the world. And you go, nah, it can't be God. Yeah. Pray. So anyway, that was pretty much the first night, the serving son. That's step number one to becoming a serving son, is go in and spend time in fellowship with your Father. He starts transferring His heart to you. Maybe you don't like ugly people. He loves ugly people. Ugly people are the ones He's sending you after. I like the way Pastor Dave says that. He said, it's not the people that you really like that God is using to perfect you. He's sending all of us after ugly folks. You got that? You know, the mean, nasty, heathen like her. Sue, I'm talking about. Heathen. We are not the same human beings that you guys know today. We were not those same human beings in 1980. Now, you might look at us and say we're still pretty rough, and we are, in a lot of ways. We are not even the same human beings. I know, I lived there, that we were in 1980. There ain't any point in going into it, but let me tell you something. The Lord has done more than you know. Now, the second night. So can you see that the following morning after having this discussion with the Father, now the serving son, they've got camels together, they've got donkeys together, they've put on the pack mules, they've loaded supplies, and they gathered up some servants. And the way I see this vision, it looks to me like about 10, 15 men with camels and pack mules, and they're all loaded down, ready for a long journey. And I see the Father coming out and giving that son and his a great old big hug and a smooch, and he's going, my blessings be upon you. I thank you so much for going after the prodigal. Can you see that? And here they go, and it's a glorious thing, and I can see the Father watching as they disappear off into the distance, you know, and his heart's just going, finally. Maybe they'll find my prodigal and bring him home. Get that picture? Now, that serving son, when he gets out, this is week two now, second lesson. Guess what he finds when he gets out there? He finds out there's an enemy. This enemy is literally going to throw all hell at him to stop him from fulfilling what the Father commissioned him to do. This enemy hates the Father more than anything. This enemy really, at one time, tried to overthrow the Father and take over all of his goods. Of course, he was soundly defeated. He can't even approach the Father anymore. So the only way he can get at the Father is through his sons. He doesn't want the Father to quit grieving. This enemy likes it that the Father's heart is grieving over the loss of the prodigal. He sees that serving son going out to seek and save the lost, and he says, no way. Now this enemy has got hordes of slaves. We call them demons. Hordes of them. And he starts sending assignments waves of all kinds of problems, anything he can do to stop this mission. Now, those of you that's even just sat down, you're only at this point trying to pray enough to find out your call. How many of you found out you got an enemy? How many of you found that out? Really, raise your hand for a minute. Let me see here. As I was seeing this vision, I saw all kinds of trouble come. The camels started going lame. I mean, sickness started attacking the bodies of these men. These devils would go into the villages. You know, they're out, they're traveling, trying to find the prodigal. And they'd be going by a village, and I could see hordes of these devils going over there. And they'd stirring up the village people. That sounds like a song. They're stirring up the people of the village. And, you know, and so they come out, and for no real good reason, they come out, and they're mad and they're angry. G-E-S-U-S. Oh, yeah. And they're coming out and throwing rocks and going, "You're all fools, you know. Who do you think you are?" And you know, persecution is coming for no good reason, really, you know. And sickness, the camels are getting lame. Besides that, they're start running out of supplies, you know. And so the journey's taking longer than what the serving son thought it would. So he writes out a message: "Father, we're running low on biscuits and ham and no, not ham, Jews, biscuits and what? Biscuits and gravy. We'll just say that we're running out of biscuits and gravy. Okay, not sausage gravy though." And could you send us some food? And we need more camel food supplies, and we need more donkey food supplies, and a change of clothes would be nice, Father. And so he makes a list out, see? And a runner takes that back. Well, what do you think the Father's, you know, here comes a runner with a message. It's maybe been 30 days. And here comes the runner back with a message, and boy, the Father opens it up. He thinks it's news, you know, about his prodigal. And he gets the word here. It says, "Father, we're running low on supplies. Could you send us this and this and this and this?" Now, what do you think the Father's going to do? Well, of course he's going to look at that message. He's not only going to go, "I'm not only sending this. My son didn't ask for enough. Some of you servants, get some wagons together. We're going to do exceeding abundantly above everything that my son asked me for here. I know him. He's trying to be frugal, but I'm the Father that's more than enough. I want this mission successful. Not only am I sending what he asked for, we're sending stuff he didn't even think of. And besides that, some of you servants, pack your bags and get ready for a long journey. They need some fresh help. Take some fresh camels with you too, by the way." Now, can you see that happening? And you can see that bunch heading out to bring the supplies. We got a supply wagons bringing supplies. Now, in the vision, the way I saw it, it was like they're traveling through a desert. And in the vision, I'm like in an aerial shot. And I can see the serving son and his caravan. And there's big sand, it's like the Sahara. There's big sand dunes, you know, all over. And they're kind of going down it through a valley in between these sand dunes. And he can't see it because of the sand dunes. But about just a few miles behind him, here comes the supply wagons. Now, he can't see it. He knows he asked. He knows his Father fairly well. He's assuming that the Father sent it. But he has no evidence. You with me? You see how this thing's going to explain a lot of stuff to us? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of supply wagons not seen. See, we can't see in the spirit realm. We can't tell your wagon's coming. But if you ask and if you believe it, it's coming. Glory to God. How does Norval do that? God. Well, hallelujah. But you know what I saw? That enemy. He says, that enemy's watching that same thing too. And he sees that supply wagon getting close. And he says, "No way am I letting that get through. I'm going to starve this bunch out." And I saw him releasing hordes of these devils again. And here they come, and they're just like in the movies. They're attacking the supply train now. They're attacking the supply wagon. And they're holding it up. And the serving son, now he doesn't know. He doesn't know what's going on, see? He can't see over that dune.
He doesn't know that it's the devil that's holding up his supplies. All he knows is they haven't come. You with me? Hallelujah. We'll get this done. Hallelujah. He can't see it. Now, you know what the devil did then? He sent messengers to the serving son claiming they were from the Father. And they said things like this. Your Father will not send you anything unless you first send him an offering. Nope. The supplies are not on the way. You did not include an offering with your request. Give me a break. Give me a break. We're going to get free from that religious junk. Now we're going to get free from that. Another messenger came right behind that one. Because the serving son didn't buy it. He says, I know my Father better than that. Now, the church doesn't know it, but that son knew it. you got it. Have that man executed. He's a liar. You know? Another one comes. I have bad news. Now, again, supposedly as a messenger from the Father. I have bad news. Your Father died. Hey, I lived in that era when that was going around. God is dead. My mind was still shapeable. I was late teens or early 20s. I don't remember. But when that was going around as being, I mean, a lot of people bought that. Yeah, there were billboards. For those of you who don't know, they put up billboards. It was a blitz in this nation. It was a trying to go total humanism. Man is the sum of all things. You know, anyway. Have that one executed also. But now, can you see the enemy? He's trying to... But now, again, the serving son, he can't see that. He doesn't know. He just... You know? And now... The way that, and there's a lot more on that tape. If y'all like that, you'll love that tape. Get it. There's a lot more on there. Because the devil had lots of tactics. Just this one. I love this one. You know another thing that the enemy did? Now he's trying to mess up the mission. He's trying to starve them out. He sent hordes of devils here, trying to cause sickness and disease. He's stirring up persecution from the village people. You know what? Another thing he did, and there was a bunch on that tape, but another thing, he had devils going ahead where the serving son couldn't see them, but further ahead, changing the road signs. Yeah. So the serving son, he's trying to get to Damascus, for example. And those devils would go ahead and switch the road sign. Instead of Damascus really is that way, they'd go switch it like the Roadrunner deal. Nope, it's that way. And, you know, the serving son, when he got there, he didn't know that it had been changed. He was moved by what he... And as long as we're still being led by circumstances, we'll be going to be going down wrong trails. Get that tape. I'm telling you, it'll change your life now. It may take you a few times till that vision becomes active in you. But so many things that we've tried to teach from a lofty perspective, I'm telling you, it gets it down where you can understand what's going on. You got a real enemy that is trying to stop you. Okay? Now, that brings us to tonight. Now, I want you to get this picture. The serving son, though, he has not given up. Even though the enemy... And the way I saw this vision in this part, it's like they've been out there a while. They are really low on supplies. It's been a long time. I started seeing this, him and his group. You could see the ribs on the camels. The donkeys' ribs are starting to show. The men get that hollow look under their eyes. You know, they're not eating well. Some of the camels, they couldn't even... ride them anymore. I saw in the vision that some of the men they were just leading the camels because the camels were too weak to even hold them up anymore. I mean, that's slowing everything down. That's what the enemy wanted. Plus, they've been going in wrong directions. Plus, they've been stoned and mocked by every village that they came by. Their clothes are starting to get a little worn now. They're starting to look tattered. Plus, they're just plain tired. They're getting wore out. And if you don't know it yet, The enemy is relentless, trying to wear you out. Now let me stop for a minute. I want to bring you up to date. When you got born again, that nature that was given to you free on the inside of you is what made it possible for you to have fellowship with your Father once again. Now once you were born again, you love the Father, you start reading the Word, that's part of fellowship. You start worshiping Him, that's part of fellowship. When you learn to start praying in tongues, that's communication and fellowship. His love starts being transferred in you, and you develop a heart to serve Him. So all of us are serving sons. That's what, that life and that nature is what makes you a serving son instead of a self-righteous elder son. You got that? So, you know, we're going to be doing a lot of talking about the difference between the new nature and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's that nature in Him and the love for the Father that causes that serving son to keep pressing on every day. He keeps, attacks of all kinds are coming from all directions, false reports, false leadership, false messengers, sickness, not only attacking him, but attacking his equipment. See now, the way I saw it in the vision, the camels went lame. How many of you started having car trouble a lot after you started praying another time? He's going to attack your equipment. He's going to attack your equipment. He's going to do anything he can to stop you. Now, it's the power of the new nature that keeps you going. You get that? It's the power of the new nature. It's that new nature on the inside of you that's in fellowship with your Father and that love that He imparted to you. That's what keeps you going. And we need to, A plus, good. Amen, serving son. We give you a for effort. But I want you to notice, he was not being victorious. Not being victorious. He was courageous. He was still full of love. He had not abandoned the vision. But he was not winning over the enemy either. Then in the vision. He wrote another message. He wrote another message. Father, there's an enemy that is attacking us with everything he has. We're still looking for the prodigal. We haven't found him yet. We've got some good clues. Father, we're running out of everything. The supplies I asked you for have not arrived. I don't know why. Father, we discovered this enemy. Is there anything you can do to help your serving son? Now when that message arrives back at the Father, he recognizes who that enemy is. He said, that's that same enemy that I defeated millions upon trillions of years ago. He's already been defeated and he is now attacking my son. Now the Father, he has a powerful, all-powerful, matter of fact, he has an all-powerful ally. His ally is named the Holy Spirit. He is invisible, but all-powerful. He has all power. He has all anointing. There is nothing impossible with His Holy Spirit. The Father calls Him. Shows Him the report. I'm sending you to my serving son. And I'm sending you there for the express purpose of helping him. I expect you to provide whatever anointing and whatever power, whatever he needs, I expect you to manifest it for him. And no matter how the enemy attacks, if he attacks him with sickness, I intend for you to manifest healing. If the enemy attacks him with lack, I intend for you to undo that lack and get the provisions that I sent to him. If the enemy sends false messengers with false reports claiming it's from me, bracket, religion, I want you to be his counselor.
Oh, yeah.
He will learn to turn to you to find out the truth.
Yeah.
In every situation. I'll expect you to provide an anointing concerning those that would deceive him. So that he'll know all things. And I want you to teach him personally. Take him under your wing and teach him. Precept by precept. How to fully release your power. in every situation. Can you see that? So in the vision, now this is for teaching purposes only. I know, don't write me any letters. I know that the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. I know that. I'm telling you how the Lord teaches me. In the vision then, I see the serving son and his caravan out there, tattered, worn, tired, still pressing on, but they're barely making it. How many of y'all ever felt like that? And you haven't even really left on your call yet. You're just trying to press in, find out what your call is. And how many of you feel like that? I mean, he's got to nip this in the bud. If you ever find out how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, you become unmanageable. But in the vision, I saw the serving son. Boy, it's hot. It's the desert. And we can relate to that today, can't we? I think it's 103, you know, in Tulsa today. The sun's beating down on them. They're hungry. They're thirsty. I actually saw in this one vision, one man was so sick, they'd made a litter and were pulling the man on the litter behind one of the donkeys. He just couldn't ride anymore. I saw one camel. They had stopped for momentarily because one of the camels had gotten so weak that it could not hold its own weight, and it was just, you know how they do in the movies, you know, it's just down on its all fours. And in the vision, I can see the Holy Spirit coming through the air. Now, he's invisible. Don't ask me how I see him, but I see him coming in this vision. That's the way dreams and visions are. And I know he's omnipresent, but the Lord's trying to teach me something. Now, the serving son, he still has a heart to find the prodigal. I mean, his love for the Father has not diminished one bit, but his flesh is weak. You got me? Tired of standing. Tired of pressing on every day. Attack after attack after attack. And he starts hearing something sound like the wind. Something coming fast through the air. Something like a mighty rushing wind is approaching him. Wonder what that is. And when it comes, when the Holy Spirit arrives, now he can't see the Holy Spirit. No, Jesus says the Spirit's like the wind. You can't see it coming. You can't see it going. But you can sure tell where it's been. In the vision, the way I saw it, now we call it the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And in the way I saw it, it was like when that Holy Spirit came, he enveloped. It's the only way I know to put it. He enveloped that son. But it wasn't just an outside envelopment. At the same time, it was permeation. Spirit, soul, body, and on him. I mean, the Spirit was in him, through him, on him, and around him. You understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit. Do you think the serving son, worn out, tired, hungry, thirsty, was glad when the Holy Spirit came?
Oh, yeah.
And do you think he would have thought, let's see now, I've been out here all this time with my best effort, and the only thing that's happened, I've got my ears attacked off. I mean, it's not my efforts. If I could do it myself, why would the Father have sent me this Holy Ghost? Holy Spirit, how do I cooperate with you? He says, well, the number one way I work in the earth, the number one way I work, I perform the spoken word. I have been sent to help. Now, I had you open to Romans 8 and you thought I wasn't going. Romans 8:26. Just the first part of it. Likewise, the Spirit also, just so you'll know, that one should be capital S. That is talking about the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helpeth. The title of tonight's lesson, the serving son's helper. He helpeth our infirmities. If you look that up in the Greek, one of the renderings of that word is, he helps our inability to produce results. Now see, the new birth gives you the nature and the character and the strength of resolve and the love to serve God. But I want to just previews. Who is more full stature in that nature than Christ himself? Did you notice that he didn't go forward to do battle against the enemy himself until he was baptized in the Holy Ghost? That new nature is to keep you in the love of God, to keep you in the will of God, to fortify you personally against deception. But the Holy Spirit has come to bring you power. Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come unto you. That word power there is dunamis. Dunamis is where we get the word dynamite. And I mean, that's exactly what I started seeing. As that serving son began to learn how to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, and I'm just going to give you one example, maybe a couple. I'm just watching this vision and writing down what I'm seeing. I'm telling you, you learn how to meditate the Word of God, it will come alive in you to the point it's rolling, and all you have to do is sit there and write down what you're seeing. Now, you got to be careful. You got to have knowledge of the Word to do that, because you can be let off, you know. But I check everything out, just like we did tonight, you know. Whoa, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That sand dune in between the serving son and the provisions that were coming. Isn't that a perfect illustration of that? Your healing's coming. Restoration of your marriage is coming if you've made petition for it. And listening to God and following His instructions. Pray for the flaky people instead of persecute them. Anyway. Helpeth the Holy Spirit. Now, get this. You're about to get so free of religion, you hardly be able to stand it. I saw this. The serving son's never worked with the Holy Ghost before. So he doesn't know how to operate. But he knows one thing, his way has not been victorious. It's not that he hasn't been on the right mission, he has been. But he doesn't have the power in himself to stop all these attacks of the devil. So the Father sends the Holy Spirit. And the number one thing now I want you to think about this. Having lived through all those attacks and suffered all of that, do you think the serving son put first priority on his efforts from that point on, or the Holy Spirit's work? Yeah, he found out, he says, well, how do I cooperate with you? Well, the number one way I work, when you speak in the name of him who sent you on this mission, I perform that. Now see, Jesus said, Father, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. I mean, okay? So when we speak in the name of him who sent us, which is Jesus, he says, I perform that. Really? And here's what I saw. You remember that camel that couldn't walk anymore? He's down. He can't hold himself up. Serving son says, really? Come here. Goes over to that camel. Now, tell me again how to cooperate with you. How do I release your power? You speak what you desire. What things soever you desire, when you pray, speak, believe you receive it, and you'll have it. Not only that, even if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, and cast into the sea, I'll do that too. So he walks over there and says, okay, now let's see now. I'm not used to this. This is new. We always shot sick camels before. Well, we didn't know there was any other way. We always filed bankruptcy before when our provisions didn't come. We always went and refinanced, you know. We didn't operate like this. Let's see now. What is it he said? He said that if I would speak what I desired, he would do that. Walks over to that camel. Camel has no idea what's about to happen. It's a good camel. Sick. It's hungry. It's tired. Can't go anymore. And in the vision, I saw him walk right over to that camel. And at the same time, now that Holy Spirit is still in, through, and upon, and around the serving son. I mean, he is enveloped in this thing. Spirit, soul, body, and on him in every way. It's a baptism in every sense of the word. If the Father sent this Holy Spirit to bring me power to do the things that I can't do myself, bless God, I'm going to do it. And if he said, if I'll speak what I want, what I need, that's why the Father sent him, then I'm just going to be foolish enough to do that. He walks over and he says, to the camel, which can't understand the language anyway, but the Holy Ghost can. Be healed! And in the vision, I saw like a... The Holy Spirit did not leave the serving son at all. But what happened, it was like a tongue? It was like a circle of power around the son. It stretched out and enveloped the camel. And the camel, he didn't bat his eyes. And I'm just telling you what I saw. He didn't bat his eyes. He didn't go, ugh. It's like he couldn't tell that something had happened. But I saw, as soon as the son spoke it, I saw that bubble around him expand and include the camel. And then suddenly, the camel just flat stood up. Healed. Now, I still needed to be fed, but it was healed. And the joy of that serving son, he did the Andy. He took off. I mean, he's going, my Father loves me. I mean, we have been going through attack after attack after attack. And he says, my Father has sent me this kind of power. Oh, that enemy's in trouble now.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to find that prodigal. The number one thing that I must do is learn how to cooperate with and release the power of this helper that the Father has sent me. Now, how many of y'all know that Jesus said, well, let's back up to what John the Baptist said. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but he that's coming after me, he's going to baptize you with what? Oh, listen, church, you've been saved, you've got that new nature on the inside of you, and if you're like me, most of your Christian walk, you've been doing just like that serving son because you love God. You've been trying to serve him, haven't you? Maybe a few little backslidings in along there, but you come back. Well, you get wore out without the power of the Holy Ghost. You do it in your own strength, you're going to get wore out. You know? Then Jesus, but he didn't just save you. It says, remember he says, he that's coming after me, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And when you've got that baptism, if you know how to cooperate with him, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible.
Hallelujah.
Now the problem with the church and why we're all coming here, those things that are mysteries to us right now about how to cooperate with him, all that time we're spending praying in other tongues, the teacher himself is coming, taking you under his wing, just like the Father instructed him. And he's saying, you keep doing that, you give me time to teach you spirit to spirit how to release my power. And like Dave says, you're not going to be any good to the devil at all. Any attack he launches against you, he'll rue the day. He'll rue the day, because I'll show you how to rescue so many prodigals, it'll make the devil sick. He'll be the one sick instead of you. What do you have to do that's more important than learning how to cooperate and release the power of that Holy Spirit? He has been sent to help you with your inability to produce results. I'm real happy about that. And I'm starting to get so free from religion. Stuff they told me. Listen. Now again. He's trying to teach me how to love these people. But I'm never going to love the false doctrine. Now all that stuff about you got to get sanctified and holy before God will send you the Holy Ghost. The very fact you're powerless is why he sent him to you. For crying out loud. Let's get real about this. Okay, maybe you are the worst scumbag in the body of Christ. Janet, stand up. And I pick her because everyone knows that's not true. Amen? But let's say she was the dirtiest, slimiest. We could find more faults with her than anybody else. Okay, so we'll just pick Janet here, see? And in our opinion, maybe we're going, well, she better be lucky that she's even saved. If God lets her into heaven at all, it'll be by the skin of her teeth. And so we're all sitting over here in our nice pews, and we look nice, and we smell nice, and we wash our hands just the right way, and we watch everything, you know, but we sit here and we talk and we go, this is a wonderful church. That Janet, though. Oh, God, she's this and she's that and she's this and she's that. And all the while, maybe out of the whole church, she's the only one with enough love in her to go out and seek and save the lost. And she'll go out and bring them in while Mr. Holy and Self-Righteous is over here judging her. God forgive us. That's coming to a rapid end. Now, the Holy Spirit, He has come. You thank you. He has come with one purpose in mind and one purpose only. And that is to get the will of the Father done in the earth. What is the will of the Father? To seek and save the lost in every way. And if you've set your heart to do that, I don't care what capacity you in the body, I don't care what your present level of transformation, if you say, Father, send me. I'll go. Whatever it is you want me doing, from secretary to preaching, from vacuuming the floor to mowing the lawn, whatever part my part is in this, I'll do it. And I don't care how messed up you are. The Father says, Holy Spirit, I got another one. You go. Any attacks that the enemy throws at her, you teach her how to release your power. Because she's out seeking and saving the lost. Now, she may be typing. Like Mary. That's part of seeking and saving the lost. We're Sally Wiley, okay, or Michael. Raising godly seed over here. Maybe that's the number one thing. But they're raising up the next generation that's going seeking and saving the lost. And the Holy Ghost is going, same commission from God the Father. He says, I'm just as concerned about that generation as I am this generation. Any attacks that come against them while they're raising my godly seed, Holy Spirit, you teach Michael. You teach him how to release that power because the enemy has no authority over him whatsoever. I've already defeated him. Michael's number one thing is not to keep pressing on in the heat of the day, so foot sore and poorly shod, like the old songs. Dear God, if he could do that, if God was impressed with that, why did he send the power of the Holy Ghost? God is not impressed with that. The more I'm seeing this, I'm telling you, I'm going, my God, the Father is not intending that we lack anything that we need. None of that is making sense to me. I mean, think about it. With the Father, now the Father wants a successful conclusion to this mission. He wants the prodigal found. Would he prefer that the elder son, that the serving son have old, tired, weak, sickly camels? Or young, new, fresh, energetic, strong camels?
Yes.
Which one helps get it done better? The good stuff, right?
Yes.
So if you need to look at your cars and talk to the Holy Ghost. Well, we've got to quit thinking that religious trash. Well, God keeps you poor to keep you humble. What in God's name would that have to do with saving the prodigal? Now, if it is true, if your life is sold out to money, get different sermons. This one's not for you. If you're not going to serve the Father, send this tape back. We'll send you your money back. This doesn't apply to you anyway. You are excluded. You're with the Gentiles and you're on your own, baby. You're going to work your whole life getting your own needs met. I can find no promise for those that will not seek first the kingdom of God. I can't find where God ever promised them nothing. He's not your provider. Give it up.
Serve God or serve mammon. And Jesus said you can't serve both. But if you'll serve God, He will make mammon serve you. How, Brother Gary? As you learn to cooperate with the Holy Ghost. Did you get anything out of that? Ooh, I'm loving this stuff. I'm loving this stuff. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is not religious at all. And I know this sounds funny every time I say it, but it's the truth. Jesus is the most down-to-earth person I ever met. He does not have one religious bone in his body. This family is about seeking and saving our lost brethren. We're in a search and rescue mission. That's what this whole thing is about. And I mean, God is 1,000% on your side if you link up with that mission. In whatever capacity He wants you playing in it. Whatever your part is. And He's given us the nature of His own Son. And that nature can be developed in us as we spend time in fellowship with Him. We get more and more like Jesus Christ all the time. His nature, His life is in us. But not only that, He gave us the power, unlimited power, of the Holy Spirit. So that if that wretched, defeated enemy ever rears his head to attack you, if you have become skillful in the handling of the word of righteousness, and you know how to release the power of that Holy Spirit, no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. Whether it's against your finances, against your health, against your marriage, against persecution from your neighbors, against anything, He has been sent to help our inability to produce results. I think we better learn how to cooperate with Him. How many of you are going to spend more time in prayer? Let Him explain some of that stuff to you. Oh, I'm telling you what. Michael, come on up. Come on up. I have no idea how many more messages on this vision are coming. I wrote 4 about it today. Which I never opened. I'm telling you, how many times have I said I'm telling you? I don't know. About. Is this good stuff? Is this setting you free? Dear Jesus, I mean, I'm starting to look now. Okay, previews. We got a few minutes. Previews. The gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit. How about, just take a couple. All right? Word of knowledge. You come to a fork in the road and you don't know it, but your enemy has already been there and he's changed all the road signs. You don't know which way is to Damascus and which way is to Tyre and Sidon. You just don't know. You can't trust what you see because the enemy works in the realm of circumstances. And you're going, let's see now, the Father, He sent me the Counselor. He sent me this Holy Spirit, and one of His roles is Counselor. So rather than be moved by what I see here and make a decision in the natural, I think I will turn to the Counselor and let Him manifest a word of knowledge that in the natural I would have no way of knowing here because I know these signs have been switched. I have no way of knowing which road leads to Damascus, and that's where I want to go. But the Holy Spirit, He can just manifest to me a word of knowledge. And I'll just know because I know, because I know, that I know because I know.
Hallelujah.
That right there is the way to Damascus, no matter what that circumstance says. All of the gifts of the Spirit are intended to help us like that. Gifts of healing. Your camel gets lame, does it? Speak the word only and thy camel shall be healed. How about working of miracles? Why did God send us with the Holy Ghost these 9 gifts? You start getting the religious head off and your family head on about what this whole thing is about. He sent you the Holy Spirit, so if you need a miracle, you can get one. If anybody working with you needs a miracle, they can get one. And if those village people come out, the ones that's stoning you, you start praying for them, you find out they need a miracle, believe it or not.
They can get a miracle. That's what the gifts of the Spirit are all about. We've been going around like, oh, it's like a religious thing, you know. Zama, zama, zama. Yeah, I don't know what all. No, it's not a religious thing at all. He sent you a toolbox with the Holy Ghost. And in that toolbox, there's at least 9. There's probably more than that. But there's at least 9. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, gift of faith. Now, gift of faith, that's when I like that one. That's when I come to the end. You know, it's like coming up to the Red Sea. There's mountains on the left. There's mountains on the right. The sea's in front. Here comes Pharaoh charging up hard behind. I've come to the end of my faith, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit, he reaches in his toolbox and he says, here, take mine. And you can't not believe. Waters, part. And you walk through on dry ground and later on you see him swallow up Pharaoh and then that gift leaves. The Holy Spirit says, okay, that's done now. I'll take my gift back. And you go, oh my God, I had faith for that. Well, yes, because the Holy Spirit manifested the gift of faith. When could I believe for that, Brother Gary? Anytime you need it. That's why the Father sent them. In the Holy Ghost. It's a practical thing to seek and save the lost. Oh, I could keep you here all night and all week. Think about poor Sue. Think about her. I come in like this every day. I'm telling you the gift of faith, honey. There's no reason why the Holy Ghost can't manifest all these things. I don't care if we are shy. We're serving him. I'm worse than Dave with Derek. You know? At least Dave's kind of quiet usually when he's telling you, you know? I'm not so quiet. I'm telling you. Anyway. Hallelujah. Father, help me stop. What's that? Somebody stop me. I can't hardly quit. I love this so much. I love this so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're in for an exciting ride, you guys. We're in for an exciting ride. We ain't seen nothing yet. I mean, the best is yet to come. Oh, mercy. I'm actually beginning to think it's possible. Even me. Blind eyes opening up. Ears, deaf ears opening up. Little children in wheelchairs, twisted and crippled, instantly receive strength in their legs and ankles, jump out of those chairs, go running and playing and jump into their mama's arms. Glory to God. Boy, now the day that happens, the revival's on. You can forget your door-knocking campaigns. You're going to be too busy ministering to all the people knocking on this door. You understand me? The traffic will be backed out as far as you can see, clear to the expressway, people bringing their sick, the halt, the lame, the blind, their crippled children. They heard that Jesus is in the house. And he is. And as we learn to work with the Holy Spirit that he's given us, all of the power of Jesus Christ can be manifested in this place. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's about to show up. And it's not that he's not here. We're very much like the serving son when the Holy Spirit came. He's invisible. See, the only hope that the devil has, think about this, our enemy. Can the Holy Spirit be tempted? Can he be bribed? Can he be tricked? Deceived in any way? Can he be discouraged? None of that. Can he be intimidated? See, the devil knows if we really learn to flow and cooperate with the Holy Ghost, the devil's days are over. He knows that. His only hope is to get you to believe that for some religious reason, that power that the Holy Ghost come with, he won't manifest it for you. That's his only hope. The devil's only hope is to get you to believe that, which the whole church has believed that for nearly 2,000 years. But if you haven't recognized it yet, we are reclaiming the promised land of the book of Acts. I mean, my faith is treading more of that revelation in the book of Acts every day. Every day, every day, and I intend to keep on treading on it till we have everything and more that they had in that book. Amen. That Jesus said, the works that I do, shall you do also? And greater works. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Now, I just got to ask this because I don't know everybody in here. I heard a good report that we have several freshly either born again or recommitted to God. Is that right? Would y'all mind it? Just raise your hands or something? Praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Best decision you ever made. Best decision you ever made. We think it's wonderful. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hallelujah. But now if you're in this building and you haven't done that, these are real smart people. You should join them. If you're not saved, and I mean know you're saved. If you're saved, you know it. I don't ever go to sleep at night wondering if I'm going to hell. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. No, that's a song. Anyway. But if you don't know that, you can know it before you leave this building tonight. This whole thing is about God loves you so much, He's paying the air conditioning in this building. God is. He's paying the light bill. He's having guys like me come preach. He's having people come and pray on all nights and morning. Why? Because He loves you. He wants you to be with Him forever. This whole thing is about you. And if you have never been saved, or if you were backslidden and not sure now where, you know, what your condition is, come home to your Father tonight. He'll kill the fatted calf. We'll have a party. He'll put a robe and a ring on your finger. It'll be wonderful. He'll hug you and kiss you. All the punishment's already been laid on Jesus Christ. You're not going to get any of that. He'll forgive you. And not only that, He'll put a new spirit in you. Glory to God. So let me ask, if you're in this building tonight and you don't know for sure that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? Please, everyone bow your head for just a minute. Please, if you're in that condition, please, come up here tonight. Come on forward. It'll be the best decision you ever made in your life. We all think it'd be wonderful. And you can be saved. The Bible says that He will remove your sins so far from you, it will be like the east from the west. He'll wash you whiter than snow by the blood of the Lamb. You'll be clean, forgiven, start fresh, start new. It's the best deal in the universe. If you don't know for sure that you're saved, please, we invite you to come now. Softly and tenderly, just for a minute.
Softly and tenderly.